It's time to talk sports in Northeast North Carolina. This is NENC Sports Radio Show on WRVS 89.9.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet.
That feel is a playoff feel, Malcolm.
Absolutely.
38 episodes of the second season of the NENC Sports Radio Show. Playoffs.
Playoffs?
Oh, that was loud. We're talking about playoffs.
There you go.
You're more excited than I am about this. A lot about playoffs this episode. Malcolm Shields with the added enthusiasm, sports writer for the Daily Advance in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. He's there. I'm here. Advance sports editor Owen Hassel. You're listening either via podcast from nencsports.podomatic.com or on WRVS 89.9 FM based out of Elizabeth City State University. It's WRVS, and it's your
community voice.
Yeah. Baseball, softball, girls soccer, all we're in the postseason play now. We're locked in. Are there any NENC teams you like getting to at least the third round, Malcolm? And don't say one that's obvious right now. Actually, two.
Two. I'm going to go with Currituck Soccer.
Okay.
They've had their stumbles. Last year, they got to the second round, lost to Roanoke Rapids. Tonight, they got Wednesday, they got a 9-0 win. I think they can at least get to the third round.
Okay. We'll get to all the other stuff here because we got a lot to break down. But first, as always, for more information on Northeastern North Carolina sports, follow us on Twitter. Also use the hashtag NENC Sports to keep the discussion rolling. You can follow us at NENC Sports. Then for me, I'm at ONOBX, Malcolm.
And Malcolm _ Shields.
And there's more ways to stay involved with sports in Northeastern North Carolina in the form of a blog. Go to nencsports.wordpress.com for tidbits that aren't always in the Daily Advance, plus interviews and video from various Northeastern North Carolina games. One coach said it's possible that all conference teams could lose in this sport in the first round. Find out who and what sport after we pause for some messages.
You're ready to become a scholar. It's time for you to earn your bachelor's or master's degree. At Elizabeth City State University, we're proud of our strong academic programs. For the fourth consecutive year, Publication Washington Monthly ranked ECSU number one in the Best Baccalaureate Colleges category of the 2015 Washington Monthly College Rankings. Start the process today. Call 800-347-3278 or find us online at ecsu.edu. Elizabeth City State University. Let us make a scholar out of you.
Hey, this is Bria, representing the ECSU D-Lights cheerleading squad, and you're listening to NENC Sports Radio Show on WRVS 89.9.
I'm catching this stuff just like you are, Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
We got hot tracks tonight.
Yes.
Hot tracks on the show. The new Drake. Okay, playoffs once again.
Playoffs?
Yeah. I just want to hear it one more time. Like a maniac.
Jim Moore.
I know what you meant.
I know.
I'm getting that. I was putting the connection together, Jim Moore. Slightly maniacal.
Yes.
The biggest upset of the 2A baseball playoffs wasn't in this area. In the East, though. It was in the East region, just not in Northeastern North Carolina. Number one, North Johnston lost to 32 Dixon on Tuesday. One losing to a 32. That's big.
Yes, it is.
Very big. To me, it just goes to show, I might have said it last week, I'd have to listen to last week's show to remember, that in the baseball playoffs, Malcolm, every team should have at least one marginally good or really good pitcher.
Absolutely.
And who's going to pitch that first game? It's going to be that guy.
Especially when you're a lower seed.
Yeah. If you got two guys, which if you're a top 10 seed, perhaps you do, you might say, okay, we can get past the first round by two guys, then I can throw my one in the second round when I really need that person. Well, these teams are going to throw their one guy, maybe catch you off balance, and they've got a chance for the victory. It can happen. It has happened already this year. That's what makes it fun. I think it's more fun to see baseball playoffs than basketball or football because I think that possibility is there. I don't think that possibility is there for football, for example.
The level of unpredictability makes, you know, baseball a lot more enjoyable during the playoff time. You know, when a guy's on and we haven't seen the pitcher for – if you haven't pitched again, you haven't seen that pitcher, it's going to be a struggle.
Mm. I look at Camden baseball, for example. Wednesday beating Trask 3-1. Camden's a 2-seed almost. Mm-hmm. Fell into that upset bug. 2-0 into the 6th inning. Trask gets a run. All of a sudden it's 2-1. Camden's got to put Tyler Beal in there late. Mm-hmm. That's nothing against Alex Eidlett. He pitched a really good game, but you know, couldn't get the hits and the runs to help him build up a lead. And Trask had 10 hits, Malcolm. Mm-hmm. Camden 5.
Wow.
Now, Trask kicked the ball around a little bit, so Camden had a few more base runners on, a couple walks as well. But what Trask's pitcher did, it's hard to say Trask.
Mm-hmm.
Almost hard to say N-E-N-C, Trask. And he was throwing like 70s.
Wow.
But the guys were just getting way too aggressive ahead of pitches, and it kept them off balance. Mm-hmm. And the guy was still throwing strikes. Eilert's going to throw it a little bit harder than that. But what Trask was doing was putting balls into play. Camden only had one error, but it was a big one, a leadoff hitter. What should have been a single legged it out to a triple because of an error in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tyler Beal comes in the pitch. Well, Trask was actually liking the fact that he sped it up. Next batter, boom, RBI, 2-1. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But Alex Eilert, to his credit, he comes back in the bottom half. He's at third base now. But he hits a very clutch hit.
Mm-hmm.
Guy on second. Camden scores 3-1. Beal shuts things down in the bottom half. And that's what good teams do. They find a way. And that's what it's about in the playoffs. I don't hate the term survive and advance, but we've heard it so often.
Right.
Thanks to NC State.
Right.
We've heard it so often that you almost want to come up with something else. It's pretty much cliche, but that's what Camden did. And now Camden gets, you guessed it, for Quemmons.
Yes.
Women's Camden second round. Let's go.
Yeah. Third time this year. Camden's won both matchups. Both games were close. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Like you said, against Trask on Wednesday, Tyler got the pitch. So you've got to think that he's going to start when they play Friday, correct?
Coach Doug Leary said Tyler Beal starting Friday. It's Women's Camden at Camden. Tyler Beal starting. Andrew Tyson for Perquimans, maybe Wes Tizik. Tizik did pitch against Franklin Academy in a 13-5 victory. Probably not enough to where he'd have to sit out because we're talking Tuesday to Friday. That's a number of days rest.
Mm-hmm.
Would probably be okay. So Perquimans can count on two pitchers. Can Camden count on two different pitchers? I don't know. Will they have to?
I think the key for Perquimans, if you're looking to win, is can you get on Tyler early in the game? Last Saturday in the tiebreak in the Coastal 10 against Manio, Manio got base runners on, and Tyler found a way to pitch himself out of a jam. After that, he kind of locked in and shut down Manio offense. If you can get on top of Tyler early on and get those couple of runs, can Perquimans get the three runs? They can get the three wins. They've got a good chance.
Yeah. Beal did that on Wednesday against Trask. In the 7th inning, mm-hmm. base runners were on. The number 9 batter. Mm-hmm. This should be a breeze.
Right.
Beal, first strike, boom, boom. And he can't even hardly catch up to it. Somehow he gets a barrel on the ball,
mm-hmm.
legs it out for a single.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you've got the tying runs on mm-hmm. and the number 1 batter up.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to get real tricky right now in the top of the 7th.
Right.
A lot more people are going to be paying attention.
Right.
But Beal, to his credit, gets a pop-up to end the game because it was two outs at that point. So he finds a way.
Mm-hmm.
Again, finding
yes.
a way. And you mentioned, I think, a few weeks ago on the show, Beal maybe not 100%.
Yeah, he had an injury, I think, after the Gates game a few weeks ago during practice. And it doesn't seem like he's had his normal dominant stuff on the mound. His His walk seemed like a little bit up. Again, I think maybe that's been kind of hurting his pitch in the last few weeks. So, again, if Perquimans can get out early and put some pressure on him, put some pressure on that lineup, which struggled Wednesday against Trask, who knows?
And Beal, to his credit, didn't seem like he was struggling from any type of injury on Wednesday. He was running the bases pretty well and hard. Just head-on slides on some plays because he's just a hard-nosed kid.
Right.
But it didn't seem like there was any injury, again, affecting him. But there was one odd play on a pitch where he, I don't think he lost his footing on the mound or something. He tripped, and the ball just kind of went up and maybe went about 8 feet.
Wow.
And he tripped over the mound, about fell on his face, which was just a really strange
thing.
I don't know if that was just he tripped on his pants legs. Right. Some of these kids have their pants legs, like, underneath their cleats.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just something like that, just an awkward sequence. The guy called a strike, but no, he didn't. The ball didn't even get.
Right.
The ball was still like 10 feet from home plate or something crazy like that. But it's still going to be a really interesting game, as it always is between these two schools. And you got to thank you for Perquimans. Say Perquimans pulls us out. Yeah, guys, you got the conference title, but we're still playing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate, you know, get back, you know.
What do you remember in 1985? Do you remember Georgetown winning the Big East Championship? Or do you remember Villanova beating Georgetown for the national championship?
Absolutely.
Do you remember NC State struggling in 83? Without Derek Wittenberg and then come, but do you remember how they somehow beat UNC in Virginia to win the ACC? Beat Virginia again in the tournament, NCAA tournament, and win the national title. It's those championships.
Yep.
People remember that. It's the postseason. That's what it's about. Coach Doug Leary said, I guess we only see you for the playoffs. I said, does it matter any other time? What else matters right now? You're here. I'm here. Let's have a good time. And for you guys, score some more runs.
If you
want. But both teams struggled to a degree in the first round, and Perquimans was sluggish first couple innings until the Pirates got their groove and beat Franklin Academy 13-5. They had one inning where Coach Justin Roberson takes out Wes Tizik, puts in Devin Mathis. Not too concerned because they were making contact and getting hits and scoring, but all of a sudden Franklin scores a bunch of runs. It goes from 6-1 to 6-5, and here we are again. Here it is once again. What's going to happen? You're looking like it was going to be a 10-run game in five innings. This is the craziness of the baseball playoffs. So go all the way back to the 2As. Now that the 1 is out, this opens the door for a number of teams in the bracket. One of those, the number 4 in Edenton. Malcolm, one of your favorites.
Absolutely.
Beat Franklinton 5-0 at Hicksfield in the first round. Going to play either Friday or Saturday against, I don't have the winner, Midway Bertie. Might have been Midway. I'm not so sure. Anyway, Malcolm, Edenton. They're the 4 seed. Now, if they moved on to where if the top seeds went and played each other, it'd be 1 against 4. There is no more 1.
They could host.
Could very well host. What do you think is going to spur the Aces to more victories?
Just consistency. That's just been one of the things that, you know, they seems like they've kind of struggled with, you know, getting off the slow starts. But if they're on, they're going to be a tough out. They got the pitching with Patrick Downham, Dylan Patrick, and Matt Benfield, and then you got Ben Ward near the top of the lineup who gets everything started. Edenton has the ingredients to make a deep run in the playoffs. It's just, can they be consistent and do what they got to do?
Edenton never strikes as a team that's going to score 10 to 15 runs a game, no matter who Edenton's playing against. And that's the same thing with Camden, which definitely showed on Wednesday. Not that they can't do it, especially against maybe the lesser teams in the conference, because they showed they did, but now we're talking a whole different world. And, of course, all that matters is that you score one more run than the other team now. But you'd like to have a little cushion in those later innings and not have to worry so much about, okay, do I need to put another arm out there? Yeah, that guy's throwing this many pitches. I mean, there's just so much of a chess game when it comes to baseball, especially when you get past the second round, I would say. Once you're in the third round, and if you're lucky to get to the regional final, that's when we see your pitching staff and what it's made of, your entire staff, because the regional final is a best of three. You can't just put your same guy out there each time. It's a little bit different than, I'm going to transition to softball, where you could have the same pitcher every game. You're at Roanoke Rapids Edenton on Tuesday. Yes. Lady Aces crushed 10-0, six innings, one hit for Edenton. This is the number two team in the Northeastern Coastal Conference, scoring runs left and right. I mean, we cursed them because we wrote a story about how many runs they score every game. Next game, they score one.
Yes.
Won the game.
Yes.
Beat Northeastern, won the game. Mm-hmm. One more run than the other team, but we cursed them. But then the curse wore off because they scored 23 against Gates.
And they went on a seven-game winning streak after they lost to Curryton.
Gates softball, which won its first-round game, so they're not a slouch.
Right.
Scored 20-some runs against Gates and scored more runs against other teams. But then I guess we brought the curse back.
Yes.
Tell us about this.
You got to think from that, from the leadoff hitter when Roanoke Rapids hit a home run, it just seemed like it just kind of crushed them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, credit to Elena Parks. They had runners on, and she only gave up another run in that first inning, only down 2-0, and then come back in the second inning. You know, then they rattled off another three runs, and then, you know, she gets chased. It was just a really tough situation for Edenton, for how potent they've been offensively to be shut out in their last game of the year, the only game they hadn't scored a run all year, and to be held to one hit, and which quite frankly was a weak ground ball. You got to think it's frustrating for those young ladies.
It's a really odd way to end the season.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, Edenton didn't start the season well either, though.
Right.
It kind of bookended itself. Lost first six games,
right,
I believe, and lost to Beargrass.
Right.
Chartered in one of those six games. Mm-hmm. Although Beargrass Charter gave Camden softball all it could want, 3-3 after five, six innings. Until Camden put on three more runs, 1-6-3. What I've learned from Beargrass in past years, and of course there's a few years that didn't have a school when Martin County consolidated, but then Beargrass said, hey, we love our school so much, let's open it as a charter. Beargrass did. They've been a charter the last 3-4 years. Beargrass and Janesville too, which used to be Janesville High School, but now that's consolidated, and people that go to who were going to Janesville now go to Riverside in Williamston.
Okay.
They love the baseball and they love the softball. Play it a lot. Mm-hmm. Janesville used to always make long runs, it seems, in softball and baseball, and the 1A's were really good. And Beargrass could do similar things. So I guess I'm not really stunned by it. But at the same time, if you're Camden softball, that would have been a tough one to swallow when you were a co-conference champion against a team that was probably a three from its conference. Playoffs? No other explanation. I didn't get to see much of it. Actually, I really didn't see any of it. I was trying to go from Camden baseball to softball to girls soccer because they were all kind of playing and finishing up around the same time. I go to Camden girls soccer, Malcolm. It's 2-2. Oh, they're going to overtime. I ain't got time for this. We got this paper thing to put up, baby. I can't do this. Come on, somebody score.
Yep.
Sure enough, Camden soccer gets the victory. 3-2 against Wallace Rose Hill. Moves on to play at home against News Charter. News Charter got the upset. So Camden is still home. They were co-champions of the Coastal 10 Conference. Good for them for girls soccer. I'm putting all this together because on Tuesday, Gates was 3-0 in playoff games. Boys tennis into the third round of the dual team playoffs, going to East Carteret and winning. Baseball and softball beats Granville Central. On Wednesday, Camden, soccer, baseball, softball, all win. Currituck, baseball, softball, girls soccer, all win.
Mm-hmm.
It was a heck of a day.
Absolutely.
And I'm actually throwing out Gates and stuff because it was great still, but I'm talking about let me just look at Wednesday because more of the games happened on Wednesday. The Northeast, NENC Sports, the hashtag that we use a lot.
Represented.
Repped.
Yes.
I think my last count was, and it's probably changed, and this is why you need to follow us on Twitter, because we're updating it constantly. 8-2 as far as 8 victories for Northeastern North Carolina schools, and then 2 losses.
Not
pretty
bad.
Big.
Not bad.
And getting back to softball, since we're talking about all these victories, Coach Karen Booker for Currituck softball felt there might not be many. She's being objective, mm-hmm. and or subjective. You know, you could take it either way. And Coach Booker doesn't mind calling it like it is, or like she sees it, like she thinks it is. Four teams from the Northeastern Coastal softball playoff bound. She looked at it and said, "You know what, Owen? I could see every team in our conference losing in the first round." And she's the conference champion.
Right.
She included herself in that. She included her team in that. She's got a relatively young team, as we've noted before. Talented but young, missing a few pieces from last year that made Currituck pretty good. It's just that Northeastern was so stacked that they battled a couple times and shared the title. Northeastern got the better playoff seating. She was almost right.
Yeah.
1-3. Currituck softball, the only one winning. Northside Jacksonville, team they beat last year in the playoffs. They had to beat them again this year, 6-0. Now they're going to face Washington on Thursday. So if you're listening to this on Thursday, maybe you got your headphones on and you're at the game. And guess what? I'm probably out there with you. So I will be covering that one. Quick turnaround. Washington beat First Flight, Malcolm, 17-0. Yeah. So, that being said, the 2-3 seeds out of the Northeastern Coastal for softball, combined losses, 27-0 score. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Edenton with the 10, mm-hmm. 17, that's 27. I did that math right.
Mm-hmm.
You combine Northeastern's loss, and you're looking at 34-1 was a combined score. And those losses with that 1-3 first round record for the conference.
Rough.
Yeah.
Rough. Only way you can put it.
Yeah. So she had valid points.
Yes.
She's just happy her team's moving on,
yes.
I guess. Washington's not going to be a slouch by any means, playing in Barco Thursday night. Gosh, I'm going to go through some more things here. Let's just look at Wednesday. In general, I don't know if I can point out every team right now because I'm trying to get some of the basics, if you will, of scores that were coming in. We've talked about Camden girls soccer winning in overtime 3-2. Currituck softball 6-0 winners. Currituck girls soccer mentioned North Lenoir. You were at that game, Malcolm, 9-0. Any resistance?
Not much. Just from the first few minutes in, it's just Cindy Phillips in the top line, just, you know, impose their will.
Yeah. 2-5-2 ready.
Yes.
We're the Currituck girls soccer team.
Absolutely.
We're 2-5-2 as well, man. We want love. It's a big area code.
Oh, boy.
Currituck baseball. Check this out. Down 5-2 at East Bladen in the fifth inning. Come back and win 6-5.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Fighting Knights.
Yeah. 28 seed. Baseball playoffs.
Playoffs?
28 seed. This is your new thing. Found your niche.
There we go. Short and sweet.
It's all you need. 28 seed of 28 in the 2A East. Pulls out that victory. Now, we did a lot of talking about Brequemin's Cannon baseball, rightfully so. These two teams battle each other every year. The schools battle in all sports. But now Currituck, second round, gets a familiar foe as well. First Flight.
Look at that.
The Nighthawks.
Ooh,
they
boy.
Get a much shorter trip, that's
yes.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just drive right on down to KDH. And these two teams last met in mid-April. Mm-hmm. Guess who won?
Currituck.
Currituck won in 8 innings.
Oh, wow.
3-1. 8 innings. You don't think they're pumped?
Ecstatic.
You think they're ready to go? You don't think Coach Justin Hill has those guys pumped?
They are ready.
One of the players tweeted me in the morning, on Wednesday morning, because I usually put out a tweet saying, hey, who's your team? Team Manio, Team Curto, that kind of thing, just to get some love out there for all the schools. See, he responds. A lot of athletes do, and even some parents. It's really cool. And we normally do it during football season, but playoff time and other seasons, I like doing it as well. People are at this height of enthusiasm, as we are right now, because we're going through all this information, it seems like, in a flash. One of the players writes back and says, we're currently on like a 5-hour drive down to East Bladen, and we're having to leave early in the morning to do all this. We're coming back with that dub just for doing all this. We're coming back with the victory. And I'm thinking, I like the enthusiasm. I'm probably not going to like the result, am I? I'm not so sure. Right. Again, confidence high, good. But you see the 28th for a reason. Man, if he didn't come back with that dub,
yeah, they got it.
The Knights didn't come back with it.
There you go.
Go get you some, you big go. Fella. Coming back with the victory, the Currituck Knights now going to play First Flight either Friday or Saturday. Most second round games, those are the days. I'm not sure why Currituck softball, I didn't get an explanation why they're going to be playing tomorrow. It might have been Little Washington play Tuesday, and they want. I've got a feeling it might be a prom reason. Little Washington might be having prom on Friday or Saturday. Mm-hmm. I could see something like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm Currituck, I'm saying too bad. Shouldn't have scheduled it then.
No.
Your fault. We're the home team. Mm-hmm. But who knows? Maybe Currituck wanted this. So I should have asked that question. I'm a journalist. I should be asking questions. I'm always thinking about things after the fact. So, wow. Gates 3-0. Camden 3-0. Currituck 3-0. Requimans 2-0. First round.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
A lot of undefeated marks. Poor Elizabeth City schools.
Yes. Yeah.
I guess we have to talk about that for just a moment. Mm-hmm. Northeastern softball, obviously a very young team, mm-hmm. losing its first round game. Northeastern soccer, not much of a surprise going down to Clinton, taking that 9-0 loss. Northeastern baseball didn't make the postseason. Pasquotank, only baseball did. But I will say this about Pasquotank. Put up a fight at Bunn, 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong. Strong effort by Connor Brickhouse and crew for the Pasquotank baseball team. So Elizabeth City bounced out quite early. All that's left is track.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll talk about regionals here in a few more minutes. But now that we've gotten through a lot of playoff talk, we want to break it up because that is a lot, the process. Malcolm, did you hear about this?
What's up?
The rumor mill has spit out a candidate for the vacant Pasquotank football job.
Really?
Yeah. It's been recommended, the candidate, but not approved by the Elizabeth City Pasquotank County Board of Education. Now, this opening, we know, has been out for months since Kendrick Parker resigned, I think back in like late February, 1st of March, something like that. We know three others were approved for the job. One was Jim Collins, coached at Edenton for one season, then moved back to his native Michigan. He was very interested. He wrote me on Twitter pretty quickly after it came out. Hey, what do you know about this? Can you give me a contact? I said, sure, here you go. Coach Collins, a great guy. So he put his name in for it. He was going to be offered the job. He was. And then he found another gig in Michigan and said, well, thanks. I'm sorry, but this is a better thing for me. So he gets out of the running. And I like Coach Collins a lot, even though I didn't get to know him that well. But I'm going to call it like it is on this as well. He was at Edenton 1 year. Wes Matera left him the keys to a Ferrari. But just try not to crash it.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, he didn't. I mean, you could always say the team could have maybe gone another round in the playoffs, and it would have been really neat. That was a season that both Northeastern and Edenton reached at least a third round. Of course, Northeastern got to an Eastern final and lost to Little Washington, but very well could have been Edenton in the Eastern final for the 2A and then Northeastern for the 2-double in the Eastern final. It would have been really neat to see two teams in this corner have opportunities to make state championship games. But Edenton got beat by Clinton in the third round, still had a 10-win season, still pushed Northeastern to the absolute limit and maybe should have won that game. Anyway, he didn't screw it up for the most part. Mm-hmm. I would love to seen him coach the team that Paul Hoggard inherited with Wes Matera helping as a coordinator, because a lot of those pieces were gone. A lot of those seniors were gone. Injuries that happened, ankles,
yes.
Broken, the whole thing. I would love to see Jim Collins coach in that situation, see how he really could have managed things, because mm-hmm. it would have been a whole other world. Nonetheless, that's how it goes. He gets offered. He says he can't do it. Two other people. I don't know the people that were offered in these cases. One did the same thing as Collins. Said, well, I'm sorry now. I've found another gig that's going to be better for me. I'm going to do that. And then the other person didn't pass the background check. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. What's going to happen now? So all of a sudden, we're going through the spring break and there's still nobody. And things are getting concerning here. So now, since the candidate in question wants the gig and passed said check, maybe we can fish around and figure out this person. You think so?
Got my fishing rod ready.
Okay. Now, he's currently working in a county next to Pasquotank. Okay. The person is from Elizabeth City and played at Northeastern.
I bet his father Jerry's happy to hear about the hire.
Yeah, indeed. We mean the not quite hire yet. Although he could always get a good deal of Rochelle Cleaners, because you can get dirty coming out of the swamp.
Yes, you can. Geez. I didn't think about that, Owen.
What did you say?
Gee.
Oh. No. You can't be sloppy about this, Malcolm. Now, you got to think about how the Northeastern quarterback from 1993 would have handled it, managing a third-round 4A playoff run. Somebody like him, mm-hmm. you got to think about how that person would look into this type of a deal. And really, that's all that matters at this point. And hopefully we can find out more about this person. Yeah. So, O-M-G.
Yes.
G. Yes,
there you go.
G. Got to get this right. Man, see, we're getting all sloppy about this. Yeah. If we can't talk right about the possible candidate, how are we going to know who the candidate is?
Absolutely.
We got to do our jobs better.
Yep.
We got to be 100 on this.
Yep.
Something's not going right.
Hi, this is Lynette Warden, coach of the Currituck County High School cheerleading team, and you're listening to NENC Sports Radio Show.
We ain't going to give it up till we find out who that candidate is, right?
Nope.
Pasquotank football. Gee, I'm still trying to figure it out. Okay. While we try to figure that out, let's jump on now.
Jump on. Jump on. Get on me. All right.
Want an example of hypocrisy within the North Carolina High School Athletic Association? I've got one. In the first round of the 1A state playoffs in baseball, Franklin Academy traveled to Brequemens. Just noted that victory, Brequemens winning 13-5. Franklin Academy's in Wake Forest. From Wake Forest to Hertford, give or take about 2.5 hour drive one way. So Franklin asked to play at 3:30. To avoid getting back too late, earlier than most would expect, they asked for 3:30. Brequemens said, "Okay, we'll help you out. We understand. We drive long distances. We get that idea." The state got wind of the earlier time than usual to play and overruled. Said push it to 4, because 30 minutes makes all the difference. Commissioner Q Tucker said Franklin's going to miss too much class time. And she berates Brequemens officials on the phone. Although it was Franklin that asked to play at 3:30 instead of what would usually be 6 o'clock. And Malcolm, if nothing else, the Pirates would rather play at 6, right?
Absolutely. Probably get a bigger gate.
There you go. More fans showing up at 6 o'clock compared to 3:30. I was at the game. Not that many fans there, especially for Brequemens baseball. And I know baseball and softball were playing around the same time. But still, there would have been a bigger crowd if that game was at 6. Just makes sense. People are getting off work for the most part. So the Chapel Hill brass of the NCHSAA, they're so passionate about student-athletes missing next to no class time. And the NCAA thinks this is funny. Obviously, the state's putting on a front here, because The state doesn't care. They really don't care. And here's why. The Coastal 10 Conference. We've got ourselves a massive 10-team league that stretches as far north as Gates and south to Ocracoke. Requimens needs at least 4 hours one way to get to Ocracoke. And the same time Franklin took to get to Hertford, the Pirates drive that far for conference games in Hatteras. That's at least boys and girls basketball, baseball and softball, and soccer each year for the past three, and we got one left in the current realignment cycle, so it's going to be four. But we stand on our high horse for a one-time playoff game? And shut up. Absolutely ridiculous. You have a six-team 1A conference just down the road, and then another six-teamer with Northside and Southside. Those were teams that Camden and Brookwomen's played often in the now-defunct Four Rivers Conference, a really good 1A conference, by the way. The state had a chance to do better in minimizing travel in northeastern North Carolina 4 years ago. Instead, just approved this present plan. Hypocritical, plain and simple. The next realignment, it is definitely for the better. I think everyone can agree with that. So kudos to the realignment committee for getting it right. But let's put it out there. It only happened because Eatonton is dropping the 1A. That's the only reason. Well, hold on a moment. In one of the new conferences starting in 2017-18, Beargrass Charter, mentioned Beargrass earlier, will have to commute 2.5 hours to Buxton and more than 4 hours to Ocracoke. To the ADs at Hatteras and Ocracoke, if your caller ID shows 919-240-7401, best not pick it up. Or just push back your game 30 minutes. For the kids, you know. NCHSAA, or North Carolina Hypocrisy School Athletic Association, Shemal now.
Jumbo.
I'm not through. I got two side Shemals on this. The first deals, again, with Franklin Academy Brookwomen's. Have we thought about the safety issues of driving later at night? That's what the visitors were thinking about when they said 3:30. A lot of school districts on top of that, Malcolm, they allow student athletes, and maybe they did this in Florida as well. If you have a long trip, you can skip the first period of the next day's first period if you return from a game like past 11 o'clock or midnight, home from a long playoff game. They say, okay, you're getting to bed late. You can miss the first period the next day. What about that? Is the state going to intervene there? This is like the same idea with the NCAA trying to intervene with academics and classes. I know I'm getting to a UNC situation. It's not about me being a UNC guy. Just how do you manage that? How do you govern that when you're not supposed to? That's the schools. That's the school districts. So are you going to tell the school district, no, they still have to go to school the next day? Yeah, I'd love to see that. Second side, Shemal. I got caught up in alliteration. This one's a little more personal. My brother coaches tennis at Eastern Wayne. A few years back, his team faced Currituck and Barco for the dual team playoffs. Currituck used to be 3A. Eastern Wayne's still 3A. A nasty thunderstorm system, it lingered near the area after Eastern Wayne had made the trip to Currituck. Hugh Tucker calls the school, calls Currituck, forces my brother's team to drive back to Goldsboro before they even played. The weather was fine in Barco at the time. This was a storm that was supposedly going to be coming up to the area. Didn't know for sure if it was. This was before Hugh Tucker was commissioner. So she was even much more hands-on to a degree. Forces my brother's team to drive back to Goldsboro to avoid driving into the weather. So now they got to drive back to Goldsboro, didn't get to play, have to come back to play the match. What happens when they come back, Malcolm?
Raining.
It starts raining.
Yeah.
So now they've got to drive, and thankfully the facility is around. They had to drive up to Corrala to Pine Island Racquet Club to finish it out. They have indoor courts there to play out the match. So more travel, more expenses with gas, more time for kids to be out of school, all because you're worried about a possible storm that could come up to the area, which never did, never ran back into that storm on the way back. Absolutely hypocritical. Be ashamed of yourself. stuff like that. I want to defend the state as much as I can because I know how much mess they probably get on a daily basis from schools all around the state, parents calling, this is happening, check on that official, they're crooked, all those things. I can feel for them on all of that. But when I see cases like this, what am I supposed to do? Just bury my head in the sand? That's ridiculous. That was absolutely ridiculous. And you're going to sit there and berate women's coaches like that. Not right. Acting like a parent talking down to a child. Side your mom. I'm going down to Alphabet Street. Now that I think about it, Malcolm, this song should have been like a new age theme song for Sesame Street. Prince, Alphabet Street.
There you go.
Going down to Sesame Street. Something like that. We're going to rock the Prince once every show. Only the good artists are passing these days. Prince, Merle Haggard, Maurice White, David Bowie, Billy Paul, Glenn Frey, Pitbull still alive, Birdman still alive. I'm going to respect his name.
Yes.
I ain't going to tell you no more. Okay, Twitter shouts time. This from Gates baseball coach Jonathan Hayes. He's at Johann71934. Johann, Johann. Says the Gates County Red Barons softball team completed the sweep for GCHS Athletics by defeating Granville Central 4-3 in 11 innings. Yes, again, the 3-0 mark for the mighty Gates Red Barons on Tuesday, beating Granville Central in baseball 7-6, and then the tennis beating East Carteret 5-1. Then he had to play doubles. In the third round, the duel to Gates, little old Gates, don't even have six tennis courts in the county, I don't think. And here they are in the third round, the dual teams. Well, they play on the road, so I guess they could play on six courts. I don't know. can't get past Gates now. They're on a roll this spring.
Can't sleep on them.
No way. That Sunbury stoplight is blinking in excitement. Or just to do its job at the county's busiest intersection. Either way you look at it, it's blinking. We encourage all of you to tweet about NENC Sports, and yours might get put on the air. Just post your thoughts or questions. We'll try to answer them. Use the hashtag NENC Sports. Well, we also had golf early in the week, the two-way state golf tournament, Foxfire Resort in Pinehurst. Northeastern's Trent Moore went 83-88 for his two rounds to finish in a tie for 41st out of 84 golfers. Currituck's Nick Lapham, it was tied for 49th. With a two-day total of 175. Track regionals this weekend, Malcolm. The 1As at Trask.
Yes.
Rocky Point, North Carolina, way down there. That's another team that had a long trip, but I guess that's okay. No problem with that, starting at 5. Well, another hour.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was all the difference. Because when kids go to the school and they know they've got a game and a long ride, they're not
thinking about school.
They're there. And that's it. Come on. Let's not kid ourselves. It's like early release day for the school system. Who here didn't love early release day for the simple fact that it wasn't a day? You just showed up, hung around with your friends. You could mess around in class. Even the teachers wouldn't do anything to you because they just wanted to get the heck out of Dodge themselves at 12, 12:30, whatever it is. Not focus on school, long playoff trip. That's the bottom line there. Track regionals, 1A, 2A this weekend. The 1A East, like we said, at Trask, 2A at Wilson-Fike.
Yes.
No, Fike's not a 2A school, though. I don't know why they're having it there. I guess Bedingfield's the host, being the 2A, and they're just going to have it at Fike's track. Mm-hmm. Nice to have three high schools right next to each other. You can do those things.
Yeah.
But you got two that are threes, and another that's a two in Bedingfield. They work together. Why not? Malcolm, you've been to a few meets. You went to the Northeastern Coastal Championships. Anything to look for out of athletes in this area?
I guess in the 1As, we can start with Camden. Trevor Carr, he's got a great chance to duplicate what he did last year in terms of winning East Regional in a few events. Cindy McCoy for Camden, she has a great chance. Dominic Brooks, male runner in the 1600 and 3200 has a really good chance to you know, put up some good times. If you go to Perquimans, Dale Mallory with the shot put, he's got a good chance to you know move on to the state.
Hold on just 1 minute. Dale. I just want to do it one more time. Yep. We're going to be missing Mr. Mallory, going to play football at Fayetteville State, but glad he's doing some things in track. I saw him Tuesday at the baseball playoff game. I think his hand's gotten bigger since I last saw him. Just a big guy in general. You look at him, you think, good gosh, he's already in college.
Yeah.
But he shakes your hand like your hand just gets enveloped.
Yes.
I don't have that big of a hand anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not Donald Trump, but you know, I don't have the hand.
Oh, boy.
Too soon?
No.
Too soon?
Never too soon.
Yeah. So, sorry about the day of Mallory ran, but go ahead.
And I guess in terms of the two ways of Northeastern, the 4x8 and the 4x4, they have a really good chance to possibly win the East Regional and move on to the state meet. In terms of the Pasquotank, they're 4x1. They should be in contention along with Edenton. It's a lot of great athletes who Curry Tuck, they're going to be going to the East Regional to defend their championship from last year. If their injuries, if they, you know, had the 2 weeks to heal up, they should be in contention. So it's a lot of good storylines going into the regionals.
I like the way track does it, or maybe the way the conference set it up, and both Northeastern Coastal and Coastal 10 have done this, having their track championships not the week before regionals, but a week before that.
Right.
Gives you time, like you just said, to heal. Because I know Lauren Cooper got hurt for Curry Tuck girls, and she's a big part of that team. Maybe now, I don't know if she'll still would be available, but the more days you have to heal, the better the chance you are to be available. I like the fact that happens. I know John Wheeler, Curry Tuck football coach, has been on the show and talked about maybe it was football playoffs where that last week in Florida. You're a Florida guy,
yep.
So explain that.
So essentially, you play all your district games, and then the last week of the regular season, it's a non-conference or non-district game. That's they call it districts in Florida, non-conference here. And essentially, you already know when you're going into that last game who your playoff team you're going to face. And just like Coach Wheeler said, that you can kind of get all your logistics together when you head out to your first-round playoff game.
I guess all you'd be worried about then is not getting hurt.
Pretty much
in that game. That
pretty much,
and you're probably throwing some other guys out there, and
you have your stars out there for maybe a quarter and a half. Mm-hmm. And then you could just get your other guys out there, get some play time.
But really, it is all about preparation and gait.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's another football game. We can make money off of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Just like I think spring football here would be cool to have spring games.
Absolutely.
The numbers as far as who you could bring, who's playing other spring sports, would make it difficult. But if you could do it, how neat would that be?
Absolutely. In Florida, they're starting right now with spring football. And throughout the month, you have a game the 15th and all the way down to the end of the month. I mean, it would be a great concept to bring that here in all North Carolina.
Yeah. Also noting dual team tennis playoffs for Edenton. Lost to Croatan 6-0 in the opening round. That got pushed back like three different times to rain.
Mm-hmm.
So when it would usually be played the second round, they were playing the first round.
Wow.
So a tough break, though, for the Aces, losing in the first round of that. And we're going to close things up right now. And remember to always follow us on Twitter at NENC Sports, ONOBX.
And Malcolm_Shields.
Because there's so much playoff stuff going on, it seems like every other second we're tweeting about what changes, dates, times. We wouldn't have known until I talked to a Curry Tuck softball parent on Twitter that, oh no, they're playing Thursday, not Friday or Saturday. Okay, whatever. Let's do it. Get it out there. So again, latest sports updates through Twitter. Also pick up a copy of the Daily Advance newspaper. We go beyond our radio time a good bit. Whether we do or we don't this time, you'll have to find out. And you can find out on nencsports.podomatic.com. That's a podcast version of the show that has it all. Also, make sure to buy the shirt. A few schools still have some shirts left. The NENC Sports t-shirt. Ask for one at your favorite area school. It's just $5. $5. All of that goes back to the athletic department where you bought the shirt. And I know for a fact, Curry Tuck and Camden have probably raked in at least $300 some dollars each just off the shirts, minimum.
There you go.
Every dollar counts. Support your school. Support the athletes of Northeastern North Carolina. Thanks again to Rick Dern and Biggs Cadillac Buick GMC for sponsoring the shirt. Rowan Hassel, Malcolm Shields, it's the NENC, and don't you see, athletes live here.
NENC Sports Radio Show is produced at the WRVS-FM studios on the campus of Elizabeth City State University.